Thank you, Bob. It is good to be here, and I'm thankful to God for this opportunity. It's been a while since I've had an opportunity to preach. I want to thank everybody for their prayers and their concerns for me and my health and cards and visits and your support. And I've been blessed, and God is faithful, and I'm extremely thankful. I got another treatment this week, and they're going to leave me off for a month from doctor's appointments until I have a checkup. And so I hope to be able to sneak into India and hopefully later this fall be able to go back to Africa, which I haven't been to in a long time. I was thinking of that and not being able to travel, and I thought of the blessings of it and being home and being with my wife and grandkids and family, something that I haven't had a lot of chance to do. And I was reflecting, Sue and I have probably spent more time together in the last year than we have since we've been in college. You know, with my work and the kids and everything else, and she's still talking to me, which is really, really surprising. But I'm thankful that God has blessed me. As we have gone to the Union, I want to echo the words of all those that before me, and we've truly been blessed. And as the different ministers spoke, I at times, they're going to get my subject, and they'd get close, but not quite. And they'd have a completely different subject from a different perspective and end up on my scriptures. I sat back and thought about that. And what a marvelous thing the Lord has for us. So he opens up our minds and our hearts and prepares us for his word. And as we've gathered in this week to remove ourselves from the world, you know, we're going to have to go home and fight the battles. We're going to have to go to our schools. We're going to have to go to our workplaces, wherever it might be. And I have to go out into the world. And yet we've been given some words of God to give us direction and strength. The brother talked about a path to walk on. He's given us a path. He's prepared us by his word. He's told us to be prepared and make sure that we stay on the path. Another brother talked about walking in faith and having the gift of faith. And another one said, walk with God today, brother from the Philippines. What a beautiful message. Well, brother last night talked about the day and the time that we lived in. Talked about the last days and the tribulations and trials we're going to go through. And he asked if we're going to be ready. Are we going to be prepared for that? And you know, the message of the Church of Christ, the message in the Gospel of Christ, is for the last days to bring us hope. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the hope that we have in Zion. I want to talk about what we can look forward to. You know, we were studying Isaiah in our Sunday school class and talking about the wrath of God and these different things. And one of the brothers was Brother Surratt. He said, what would we do without the hope that we have in a place of Zion? And what the scriptures talk about, a place of refuge. The cause of Zion to bring peace and comfort and instruction and the presence of our Almighty God in our presence, to glorify his kingdom. Those things that we have been mentioned this week and in our sermons and in the testimonies are our words to help us to bring about the cause of Zion. Those things that we do in our life, those things that we do to be obedient to the commandments of God, to repent and to pull away and to separate ourselves from the world And so I've got some scriptures and some thoughts and that I hope I can present to instill in our hearts that and into our lives a hope, a direction, expectation, rejoicing, a strength to look forward to get through the times that we live in. First, I want to rehearse a few simple scriptures. We've all know these, but I think they're important. And I use them a lot. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord doesn't change. He is faithful. He will meet his commitments. He will redeem his people. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you almost can sit down just with remembering that. Amos is another scripture I just happen to just surely love. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveal his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. We have the things before us. We know the day and the time we live. We have them. We have the answers. We've got to get up and walk with Christ. Brother talked about him being our friend, our buddy. We have the records to guide us and direct us, to tell the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We don't have to be gone astray or to be misled. We've got the scriptures to tell us. And we're to lift them up and allow them to direct or give us direction in our life. You know, we know and we believe in the second chapter of Daniel, 44th verse. It says, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of God on earth. And that's happened. We know from the reading in Daniel the circumstances that occurred there, that, you know, many years before, that a dream that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar that was interpreted by Daniel. And he said, you've been told the things that are going to happen in the latter days, a time way beyond him. And he, in that dream, he saw a great image standing in all its parts, standing before it, and saw that kingdom of God, which would be set up in that day that those kings stood. We know, we read history and know that those kings were all great kingdoms, all separate. But at one time, that king had seen, God had shown him. He said he'd surely do nothing except he reveal it to his servants, the prophets, reveal to him that there would be a day and a time that those kingdoms would stand complete. And in that day and in that time, the God of heaven would set up his kingdom. We know and believe that that was the restoration of the Church of Christ. That was the church that you and I belong to. That God had set up. Wasn't to be given to other people. It was going to consume and spread out into the world. And for many years we wondered how that was going to happen. But we're in those latter days and we see that happening. We see it going out to the four quarters of the earth. In fact, if you look in the map, it's probably in the four quarters of the earth right now. And you and I are part of it. You and I have to stand up and be prepared and bring about those things that will cause the Zion to be established. You know, it talks about the Zion to be started here in Independence, Missouri. Somebody said today's Independence isn't ready. No, Independence isn't ready. That's right. There's going to be a cleansing. There's going to be a purifying. God is in charge. He has testified it. The prophets have spoken of it. And we live in the day and the time that we're talking about. Here we read in 2 Timothy in the church, in the third chapter, "This know also that in the last days perilous times should come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying their the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, do so these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." The last days, perilous times. Lovers, don't we see these things in our all about us? You know, we pick up the paper. We go to our workplaces. We live in a society. We see it. But these words are for you and I too. You know, we have a tendency to look out. That was brought home in the last several days in all those messages. We're to look first into our own lives and see where we have any of this. Are we lovers of our own selves? Boasters? Do we think we're better? Are we proud? Blasphemers, disobedient to appearance, unthankful, unholy, believer in false doctrines? Have we accepted those things and allowed us to be caught in pernicious paths and lost because we didn't stay on the path? Truth breakers, not with natural affection. We see that. It's rampant in our thing. Incontinent, not be able to control ourselves. Fierce, getting out of control. Despisers, those that are good. Have we ever mocked a brother or a sister because they've tried to do the right thing? Have you? Traitors, high-minded, pleasures, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. A form of godliness, but not denying their power of thereof, from such turn away. We find ourselves maybe at times saying, well, you know, that might be for somebody else, but I don't have to do that. Or I'm not going to do that yet in my life. I'm going to wait a while. And aren't we, in fact, denying the power of God, His capabilities? Making a choice not to believe in the prophecies, or not to believe in the promises, not to use the gifts that He has given us? I hope I can get us to think about, you know, looking within ourselves. How about forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth? You know people like that? I know people like that. You know, I know that sometimes I get like that. I am set in a belief or something, and nobody's going to convince me anyway. And I have to repent of that. That's being blasphemer. That's being proud. That's being high-minded. That's being heady. That's being all those things that I'm not to be. I'm fulfilling the prophecies of the last days, the condition in which we live in. It abounds in the world. It abounds in our lives somewhere, each one of us in some way. And where do we remove those things? 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were, from the beginning of their creation. We hear that. You know, well, you guys have been talking about this for 150, 179 years. You know, there's people that we know, and we run into them that don't believe what the scriptures teach about the creation and the power of Almighty God and the workings of, with Israel and they choose to believe that those things are fables. They choose they're reprobates. They're going against the will of God, and so are we if we choose not to believe it. Well, that's for a different day of a time or whatever it might be. And so we have to be careful. We have to be cautious. Brother talked about being very diligent to keep the commandments of God. Key point brought out in this one. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that we should perish, but that he should come, that all should come to repentance. God doesn't change. He's not slack concerning his promise. They're going to happen, and he's not like we are. He is long-suffering. He holds his arms of mercy towards us, and he wants us to come and repent. First Peter 4, starting with verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Boy, that kind of brings it home, doesn't it? Begin at the house of God. It's going to be a cleansing in the church of Christ. It's going to be a cleansing in independence. It's going to be a cleansing in America, a land of promise. Choice above all other lands, as long as the inhabitants serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. And we find ourselves ripening in iniquity as a nation, as a culture. And we've got to fight it. We've got to combat it. We've got to preach against it. We've got to be that light, that hope, on that city on the hill, bringing in preaching that God has prepared a place. He desires that we come. We must prepare ourselves to be allowed into his presence. And his kingdom, his church on earth, will be glorified by his holy presence. The hope that we have is in God's promises and the fact that he never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. I want us to turn to Isaiah 56th chapter. Excuse me, 52nd chapter. It says, awake, awake. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, thy holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I shall be, that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain of the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nations and in the ends of the earth, and the ends of the earth, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The promise of God, a warning, a statement of prophecy, of how he would, there would be a need for him because Israel had gone into Egypt and taken her pleasures and the idols of the things of the world, they would have to be redeemed. Some beautiful scriptures I read. Seventh verse. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. The watchmen will lift up the voice. Together they will sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. We look forward to that day. We're responsible for that day. We're those watchmen. To some extent, of course, it's the ministry and God's servants, but all those that he has called. Brother told us that in the last 2 days, 3 days. Called us all. We're all part of the responsibility. We're to lift up the voice of God. We're to lift it up in unity. And we do that. We may not do it enough. That voice of the Lord we have, it's in the scriptures. In the law and the testimony. In the Bible and the Book of Mormon, to lift them up into the world, to put down contentions and false doctrines, that people would believe that the Bible is true. And that's different than what they're learning in the world today. They're learning that though many things in the Bible are not true, that men who are ever learning and never coming to the spirit of truth are reprobate in the truths and have turned from the truth and are denying them. But it's our role, our task, to lift up these things. We do it in our daily walk in life. Andy talked about the practical application of God's word. Our responsibility. Our challenge. Our blessing. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. God has a blessing for us. And of course we know and believe that. He's already blessed us. We talk about Zion. What is it? It's a dwelling place of God. On earth, according to the scriptures. Dwelling place for his people who have conditioned themselves in righteousness to live with Christ, a place of refuge. His kingdom on earth, which he will glorify with his holy presence, a place of refuge. And we're to be part of that if we qualify. The judgment's going to start with the house of God. There's going to be a cleansing in the whole world. In the pure of heart. Those that have humbled themselves. Those that have turned from their natural tendencies that are spoken of in the scriptures. A carnal heart and given themselves to Jesus Christ. Those that have set aside the idols of the world and not caught up in the things thereof. That we have to fight against. That we have to have the temptations, that are common to man that we cannot partake of and separate ourselves. Scriptures talk about two places of refuge. In Isaiah, in the second chapter, verses 1 through 5, in the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Coming event. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, O house of Israel, O church of Christ, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Told today in a testimony, we're to look up, aren't we? We're to look up in hope and joy. We, of course, are awed by the responsibility, but God has promised that he's going to walk with us. Mindful of, I'm not good at Old Testament stories. I missed all that as a kid. David, got it. going to the front and bringing food to his son, brothers, and being amazed, everybody is scared at this Goliath, this Philistine, and he can't figure it out. What's wrong with you? The God of Israel is with us, and we can overcome all things. And so can we. It's a lesson for us. And he had prepared himself for battle. He had prepared himself with the sling and the stones that he had, and he hit his mark. And a miracle occurred. He ended up being the king, didn't he? And God blessed him. And he'll bless you and I. And we'll be able to overcome the Philistines and those that blaspheme and those that hate and those with variance and reviling and contentions and whoremongers and whatever there might be. And be able to let our light shine and bring others into the fold of God. That Zion, the new Jerusalem that's spoken of in the Book of Mormon, designates, you know, to be upon this land. And a Jerusalem, to be a place of refuge in Jerusalem. For Israel. You know. And for some of the young, maybe. Do you understand in the scriptures when we're talking about Israel, we're not talking about the nation of Israel today. That little spot of land, it's 120 miles long or whatever and 60 miles wide, or, you know, it's in the papers every day. They're one tribe of the house of Israel. There are 12 tribes in the house of Israel. You know, Zion was to be for the descendants of Joseph upon this land, the other tribes, and wherever they might go, here or there, a place of refuge. Gathered in from the nations of the world, from Denmark, from Spain, from Russia, from, you know, the Philippines, from wherever. God's people are to come and be blessed and dwell with him in his holy presence. And we can be fortunate that God has called us to be a part of that work. Isaiah 4, it says, "And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, that he that remaineth in Jerusalem after that cleansing shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all glory shall be a defense. And upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the day time from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." What a beautiful promise. In the prophets of old have testified of anything. Moroni, 6th chapter of Ether. Read it. Wonderful message. I hope we've all read it. And talking about those two places of refuge, one here and one in Jerusalem, built up a holy city once again. Third Nephi testifies in the 10th chapter, verses 2-6. 9th Nephi, 7th, 1st Nephi, and it's all over, as it is in the Bible. The testimony of the promise of God. But the world denies it. The world teaches a difference. It teaches a false doctrine that's been put on in the world by Satan himself to deceive the multitudes. Those that want to hear the pleasant things, that say that they will be raptured and be taken and not have to experience that cleansing and the trials of life and the blessings of God here on earth, because he's got the place that he's going to be at, going to be right here on earth. And there'll be many that'll be deceived, except we stand up and make a difference and live our daily life in such a way that people walk up and ask us, "Bill, why do you have the hope that you have in your life?" Or Jane Ann, or whoever, or Trevor, or wherever we might be. And that's where the point we have to get in our life. That's our duty to God. That's our soul salvation. We've learned thus far that God is unchangeable. We're in the last days. There shall be a cleansing. God will provide two places of refuge. We were told yesterday. Was that you that said? God, the righteous, need not fear. What a beautiful promise. We don't have to fear that. If we're righteous. If we're numbered among the believers. If we've been diligent to keep the commandments of God. If we're walking with God. If we're living a life of faith, if we're keeping the commandments, we have no need to have fear. This is a time to rejoice in the fulfillment of God's promise. It's a time to be obedient to the commandments of God. Who will be qualified? Who's qualified to be able to dwell in these places of refuge? What are the requirements? How does one qualify? Again, it tells us that, there's going to be that cleansing at the house of God. Those that are qualified are going to be in fulfillment of God's promises in obedience, because he's promised it and he doesn't change. the cause of Zion, those things that will bring it about, to, are those things that we have to do in our lives as the body of Christ, as individuals, has been revealed to us in the Holy Commandments. That practical application that our brother Andy talked about. Now I want you to stay with me on this. Okay? This is a completely different slide. I'm not selling French dressing. A brother and the other, last Sunday, I think it was, our brother Hammond Silas, Sunday school, used this as an example. And I asked him if I could use this example. And, you know, I'm at the stage in my life that I haven't paid attention to anything the dietitians and that have told me all my life. And now I'm an old man and I find myself holding up the aisle in the food store reading labels. You know, how much fat, how much sodium, is it, you know, can I have this? No cholesterol. You know, I'm finding everything I like I can't have, and then I get used to one thing and they tell me another thing, but you know, I could relate. And he wanted us to look. His point was to look at our lives and what would we be like if we had the label of our ingredients, our moral ingredients, as we walked around, and we're going to need that, because it's going to be like a pass to be allowed into that place of refuge. So what I, you know, make some fun of it, but to me, I could relate to it. You know, time to pay attention. What do the ingredients say? Or what does my life say? You know, is this what I'm going to find? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness? I hope not. Lasciviousness? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I hope that's not mine. But when I read that and really search it, and find out what some of those words mean, I may be in trouble. I'm going to pick a few. Idolatry. Have I placed idols, at those things in my life that separates me from my labor for Jesus Christ, for my godly walk on a day-to-day basis? Have those things become raised me in pride of possession, or perhaps that I might be better than somebody else? Sometimes I have to admit I would have to carry maybe that one. Witchcraft, interesting. Use of sorcery, magic, communication with the devil. An irresistible influence or fascination. Even perhaps in music or pornography or violence or the things of the world that I shouldn't be into, completely allowing it to take over my life and separate me, falls into witchcraft. Where do we find ourselves? Might be a little push on the word, but that was the definition, you know. Emulation. Ambitious or envious rivalry. I'm going to be better than you. Andy, I'm going to have more faith than you do. And the Lord's going to bless me more than he does you. And I'm going to stay ahead of you. We think that sometimes. Proud? Pride? maybe blaspheming the word of God? Yeah. Wanting to equal or sell others, be better than others. A form of lust, a form of pride, being idle. Sedition. Or seditions. You know, the wrath and strife, you know, we understand seditions. Rebellion against the lawful authority. Rebellion against our parents. Rebellion against our boss, the company we work for. Rebellion against the church. Rebellion against the pastor, whoever it is that's been given authority or to counsel with us or whatever it might be. Rebellion against the scriptures or whatever it might be. Rebellion against our government. I don't have to do that. I'm going to do this. They can't tell me if I'm going to carry a gun or not a gun. I don't have to register to vote or I don't have to do this. Seditious. Rebellion. Scriptures tell us all the power is over us. God has placed there for a purpose. And we're not to be seditious. And so, we have what I hope to be bringing out here is a need to look at these things within our own lives and to remove them. I was working on this sermon. And this is going to be really hard for me to admit, but I fell right into that the other day. Right here. I'm not proud of it. But, you know, there's a reason I got overweight and have diabetes and things, I realize, because I haven't taken care of myself. But, and so I've been in rebellion. But when I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And as Sue will attest, I become like a bear, And I kid about you gotta feed the bear here, And I was really hungry the other day. It was Friday. Sisters in the kitchen. I am not finding fault. Except here. And I go, I like food. I like volume of food. It doesn't have to be pretty, volume. And I'm in line, and here's Sister Jane Ann, and there's Sister Cynthia and her precious daughter, and I think my niece Tricia, and I don't know who else were in that line. And I get dropped on this plate, this little bit of salad, and a little piece of bread. And, and I sat there and I looked and I was going, and I caught myself, And I said, Brother Brickhouse, you're not supposed to be thinking what you're thinking. And I really think your daughter, I know she was looking right at me and wondering what was wrong with me because I'm thinking, and I had to repent of it. I was selfish. I was prideful. I had this irresistible, whatever it is, influence of my stomach controlling my brain. And I was out of control. I was incontinent. And I was fierce. And I was all those things. And I had to say, no, there is a reason that I'm getting fed like this. And I said, they're probably worried that they have enough. And, that's what it was. That's what they were. I didn't know. It was delicious, by the way. And I'm thankful for it. And I'm not complaining, except it was a lesson for me. That's how easy you can lose it. And I was losing it. And those thoughts were foreign to God. I wasn't walking according to God's commandments. I wasn't walking in faith, believing. I was allowing my own desires and afflictions, as the case may be, to control myself. But what we hope, of course, is we have a label like this. Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Again, such there is no law. Those are taken from the fifth chapter. Galatians, there's other. Charity, we've been talking about. Faith, hope, and charity. Pure love of God. Tells us if we don't have that, we don't have anything. We're to pray for it with all the energy of heart. And I fall short of that. And I want us to remember to do that. And I want you to, when you go in the store, you pick up your can of pop, and you pick up your bag of chips, when you pick up your bread, whatever you do, and you look at the ingredients, think about these scriptures. Think about your label that you're carrying and what it is that you're professing to the world and what it is that you're showing in your faith to God. Are you a member of God's kingdom, and are you living such? Are you repentant? Do you have a godly, sour way about you? Are you filled with meekness, preferring your brother or your sister or those about you? Are you merciful? Do you forgive others? Or do you hold grudges? Do you remember something that happened 15 years ago? Or how somebody hurt you? You know, we're responsible to forgive them. Not to insist that they necessarily apologize to us. That if we've offended somebody, we're responsible to do that. But we're to forgive. Because we want to be forgiven. If we want to be forgiven, we have to be merciful. Submissive to those that have authority over us. Submissive as a child to our Heavenly Father. We have a need to keep the Sabbath holy. Are we doing our own pleasures on the Sabbath? What do we do on the Sabbath? How do we celebrate the Sabbath? As according to the commandments of God, people look at us. But more importantly, we're to dedicate that day for Him in His service and to service to others. We're to seek first the kingdom of God, diligently keeping the commandments. The point is, am I doing that? That's what I want us to look at. You know, I read all these, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, ones I read, that, you know, adultery, fornication, you know, boy, that world is terrible that we live in. You know? And then I find myself blowing my stack to my mind, you know, downstairs. I have to look at myself. I'd already done this slide, I think, and I'd already put my name on the top of it, so. You know, I knew I was headed for trouble. Briefly, I'd like us to turn to the third chapter of Alma, page 315. Verse 27, it starts, "And now I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in a redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body?" Are we doing that? You know, this discussion that Alma has here with repentance and everything here, page 315, 316. Good words to read to keep us on that right way, you know, to keep us faithful. 36th verse. "I say unto you, can you look up to that God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can you look up having the image of God engraven on your countenances?" Can we? Can you? I have to ask, can I? Forty-seventh verse, have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? Could you say if you were called to die at this time within yourselves that you have been sufficiently humble? Have you been stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you are not prepared to meet God. And so as we go out into the world, as we go out and separate ourselves, it was easy, I guess, for me. Here I've been reading the scriptures. I'm in the church. I'm among brothers and sisters, and it was easy, I guess, for me to catch myself. Because I was around people that believed like I did, had expectations of others that I did. And I was blessed by being in their presence, that I didn't make a fool out of myself, and that I could repent prior to my opening my mouth. And we don't always have that opportunity when we're out in the world, but that's why we do have opportunities, the things that have been brought the last 3 days that have been given to us, to remember those precious jewels of the gospel, those words that have been brought forth to us. And so I hope we'll use our time wisely when we go home, and our days at the reunion will not be forgotten. And not only will we tell others of the wonderful time we had here with the body of Christ, but we'll show them in our life about a difference. About that they might see God's countenance in it. That they might wonder what it is, the hope that we have that shines us and guides us as a guiding light in our life. God is an unchangeable God. The scriptures are God's word. We're to follow. We're to read them. We're to read them and believe them. We're to read them and step back and let the Spirit of God direct us to its meaning and our practical application into our life. We don't want to be caught ever reading or ever learning and never coming to the Spirit of the truth. Never coming to accepting God's commandments and promises, His authority over us and those that are around us. We don't want to be reprobate. We have to warn ourselves that if we're doing everything everybody else is doing in the world, we got a problem. God has a plan. He's got a place of refuge, or two places of refuge, but we have to be diligent in keeping the commandments. So I hope and pray that this time that we have will be fruitful in our life. That youth that have been at camp, and that will remember those things that the instructors told, and the testimonies that you heard, and the promise that you made to yourself and to God to serve Him. That we'd remember, those of us that have been baptized, that we remember our commitment to God. To those that have not, and to those that know, that you yield and submit yourself and become as a child and be baptized and enter into His kingdom, because it's one of the requirements. It's not a free pass, but it's one of the requirements to be in God's refuge and His place and His blessing and His presence. So as we go, let's make sure that we qualify. Let's check our labels. Just as I have to in those aisles. Even if we have to slow down and hold everybody up, like I do at times. And, that's funny, but it's not. I actually do that. I want you to remember my French dressing one. And Annan's, thank you, Annan, for his example. May God bless us in our walk with him. Thank you.